It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. And the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you this afternoon by Hound Dogs. I'm out here on Kingston Pike in Cedar Bluff, the Cedar Springs Shopping Center, for another hour or so as we break things down this afternoon. We send it back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Marcus Young standing by. Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Celtics head coach Ime Udoka is likely to be suspended for a year.
Now, what are you calling him?
Udoka?
Is it Udoka?
Oh, I guess it's Udoka, yeah. I'm doing the wrong vowel at the end.
I thought you were an NBA guy.
I'm not an NBA guy.
Team. And that's your team. You don't even know your coach's name.
I am tired, Bear. I have been worrying and stressing over what's going to happen with Nia, you know, what she's been dealing with.
That's it. You're worried about the coach's wife. That's where you're concerned.
Yeah, you're worried about the gazillionaire movie star smoke show that's not going to look back at all.
That's very kind of you, Marcus. You're a good guy.
I appreciate that. There is a look at a season-long suspension after it has been found out that the head coach and a staff member had a consensual relationship. This punishment is not coming down from the NBA. It is coming from within, as it is against the organization's code of conduct. And currently, assistant coach Joe Mazzulla is expected to serve as the interim coach.
Well, what a mess. The Celtics, I mean, that's got to suck for Celtics fans. You get so close to the precipice. Played pretty well in the finals, too. Like, arguably could have won it. And then your young coach, who's up-and-coming star in that league, I guess he'll probably bounce back if he ends up getting fired over this. But that's not good. Not good, Bob.
At number two, the NCAA places LSU football on probation. They accept schools' self-imposed penalties over recruiting violations. They placed the program on the year and issued a 3-year show cause against a former assistant coach who it says admitted to meeting with a prospect and give him team gear during COVID recruiting dead period.
You find it interesting how nobody was taking those COVID rules seriously. Like, teams were just practicing when they weren't supposed to, recruiting when they weren't supposed to. Just
am I surprised?
Completely disregarding the rules.
I mean, surely you aren't. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all.
At number three, Sean Payton says that he would be interested in returning to the NFL as a coach in 2023 for, quote, the right situation. Currently, Sean Payton is working for Fox Sports this season after stepping down from his coaching job with the New Orleans Saints back in January. But he says he's interested in returning in the NFL for the right situation.
Everybody has him pegged to the Cowboys, but if I were him, and he's very well thought of within the league, he's going to have a bunch of suitors, I would think, after the season or even during the season. Man, why would you want to go to Dallas where all the money's tied up in a quarterback who, even when he can stay on the field, I think is not that great?
I mean, hell,
and
did you see
an owner who defines meddling owner and is always going to be giving his 2 cents, talking in media interviews and stuff like that. I just feel like he could get a much better job or a job that is easier to win at than
more
Dallas.
Stable.
Yeah, you're right. He should go to Tennessee.
We've got a coach.
Oh, you're talking about Mario over there? You're telling me you wouldn't take Sean Payton
over
Mike Vrabel? Come, you know, I would take him.
What's going on here?
I'm just saying. At number four. Sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm annoyed by it. I like Sean Payton as a coach. I think he is. I think him leaving New Orleans was a mistake just in general. I think he should have stuck it out. Clearly, he just doesn't want to be there. I'd see him in Nashville. At number four, Thursday Night Football comes up at 8:15 between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns as they will be facing off on Amazon Prime, and Cleveland currently is a 4-point favorite.
Browns favored by 4 at home. Not a lot of believers in Steelers coming on the road to Cleveland. I would say this is probably going to be a close, hard-fought game. Very low over-under tonight. I've got it at 38. So if you are a fan of offense, tonight might not be your night.
And finally, at number 5, Tom Hardy surprised a few people as he entered into a 2022 Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Open Championship.
Who did?
Really?
Tom Hardy.
That's what I thought you said.
He made a surprise appearance in a martial arts competition over the weekend. He actually put his real name down as Edward Hardy, so I guess no one really realized. And then all of a sudden he showed up. One of the competitors said that Hardy came up to him and just said, just don't think about it as me and just do what you usually do. According to this, Tom Hardy is actually a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. So he's got some experience.
The hell does that mean?
It's like the belt system.
I thought black was the best.
That's with karate, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, go ahead.
But, Tom Hardy actually, not only did he show up, but he walked away with winning gold.
Really? Pretty cool.
It's pretty impressive.
What's your guy's favorite Tom Hardy movie or role? I'm looking at his filmography right now. Very prolific. He has been in some awesome movies.
Really? Because here's the thing. And you know me, I watch a lot of movies, and especially in the last couple of years, I've watched a ton.
You don't know who this is, do you?
No, I know exactly who he is. He played, I think his first role was in one of the Star Trek movies, like the Next Generation movies. But I know he's been in a ton of stuff, and I know I've seen him, but I can't. Like, if you name some off, I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Guy in The Revenant. The guy's like who's chasing Leo, or maybe Leo's chasing him. Yeah, they were chasing him.
Okay.
Great role. He was in a really cool movie called Legend, where he played twin brothers, and they're like British gangsters.
Oh, yes, it's based on the
Cray twins.
The Cray twins.
Yes.
That was him?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Mad Max Fury Road, which I know you don't like, but it was a great movie.
You call it a cinematic masterpiece. I did. It's a good watch, but I didn't think it was as good as you thought it was.
He was in that movie Dunkirk about World War II a couple of years ago. And of course, what was his? I know Marcus's favorite role. What's your favorite Tom Hardy role, Marcus?
It's going to surprise you because it's not what I think you're going to say.
It's not Bane.
It was not Bane. No, I did enjoy that one, but his movie for me that was my favorite was actually Lawless.
Can you do the Bane voice, Russ?
Oh, Marcus is surprising me now with his movie selection.
All right, thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Hound Dogs and joined by Jess. Move your microphone down here so it's in front of your mouth there, Jess. Jess works here at Hound Dogs. Every time I start opening up the mics, I just get a huge gust of wind here. Yeah. It's a little breezy out here today.
It is. It's breezy out here, man.
But you're not going to get sweaty out here. Is the good thing. Here. Is the weather is cooling off a little bit for? I don't know if you've heard, but there's kind of a big game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, just a little bit of a big game.
Kind
just
of a big bit. Deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jess was telling me you're originally from Memphis.
I am.
And you moved over here to East Tennessee to your family vacationed out here and you love the area and just wanted to live in Knoxville. And you've got this is a part-time gig for you, just kind of a little side hustle working over at Hound Dogs. What made you want to come work here?
Well, I Big love Vols the Vols. Fan? Yeah, okay. I love the Vols. I'm really good with clothes and retail and all that kind of stuff. So I really enjoy it.
Very cool. Now the bosses aren't here, so you can tell me. Don and Jesse, are they good guys to work for?
Don and Jesse are the best people I've actually worked
for. Hey, there we go.
Here
comes Jesse. So you have to be on your best behavior now.
They give me pretty much everything I ask for.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Good
they,
employee discount.
Great employee discount.
Nice.
Yes, they are the best. Love Don and Jesse. And anybody looking for a job, I highly recommend coming to Hound Dogs because they're going to take care of you.
Are you guys hiring right now?
Yeah.
Everybody's always hiring, yeah, right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. There you go. You want to come work around UT gear and Tennessee stuff? Come in here and talk to Hound Dogs. Tell them Fan Run sent you. What is the biggest selling items you guys have right now?
Checkerboard overalls.
People love those.
Dude, they are off the charts. We'll have people in the summertime come and ask for the checkerboard overalls, and we'll be like, sorry, we're not going to have them until the fall. And then in the wintertime, this is done sold out, and then people are still asking, and nothing, man.
But you guys got all
We still got some in stock, so if y'all are looking, come right now. They will leave.
I admire the people who are bold enough to wear the checkerboard overalls.
Yes.
I'm not one of those people. I'm just a goofy looking dude to begin with, but you put on some loud overalls like that, it's not going to go well. I like the more kind of subdued, like I like the classic look stuff in there. Yeah. I'm a comfort guy. Give me a nice soft t-shirt.
Yeah. I'm going comfort colors. That's who I'm going with. Like the shirt I got on now, we just got some the white what's it called, game t-shirts or comfort colors. We just got the cream one in, that's comfort colors, so I really like the comfort colors. And we got some other ones. I don't know the exact brand name of those, but they are very comfy too.
Good. You got to come out here and check it out. Hound Dogs in the Cedar Springs Shopping Center, Kingston Pike, right off Cedar Bluff. We're across from the big Kroger's out here in West Knoxville. They've got all the Vol gear for the Vol fan in your life. And don't forget, folks, if you are sitting in, you got to make sure you know, are you in the orange section or the white section? Come on out here to Hound Dogs and get yourself a shirt so that you can be color coordinated for Checker Neyland on Saturday. Just before I let you out of here, I got to get a prediction. Vols. Ooh, I like that. See, they got the Tennessee orange on the side of the RAV4.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty neat right there. And the Pat Summit license tag. Hey. What's your official prediction for Tennessee and the Gators on Saturday?
No, I wish it was 100-0, but realistically, I'm going 38-24 Vols all the way.
38-24 Vols. I'll take it. A 2-touchdown win and a cover job. Jesh, appreciate you, my man. Thanks for braving the wind and coming out here and talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. The Big Orange Phillies phone lines are open. They are popping. Do we still have Heath online?
No, Heath dropped, but hold on.
All right, we got a couple open lines right now. If you want to jump in as we break things down this afternoon, it's Tennessee, it's Florida on Friday. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be live out at National RX in Farragut with Christopher Gabriel. The CGP is in town. He's going to be hanging out with us for the whole show on Friday tomorrow out there. So we're looking forward to that. And of course, we're going to have our big shindig coming up at Hops and Hollers Friday after the show, 6 until 8. Jake broadcasts overtime live down there. And then CG and I will be getting down there about 7 p.m. Check out Hops and Hollers North Knoxville. You know where to find it. And we'll be out there doing a little tailgating and cold beer drinking and barbecue eating, meeting and greeting with the people. It's going to be fantastic, man. Cannot wait. Brad in La Follette is next. Hello, Brad.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Brad. How's it going, man?
Oh, man. It's going great. Man, I can't wait for the game. I'm like DEFCON. I don't know what it goes up to. I'm like DEFCON 5 right now. Or is 5 mean I'm calm, or is it 1?
DEFCON 1 is like the most dangerous. That's where it's like nuclear war is about to break out. I know I get that mixed up too.
I'm on about 2 right now. Tomorrow I'm going to be foaming at the mouth.
Full on meltdown mode.
Yep. Russ, Bear, is there any truth? Can you confirm or deny that Jimmy Cheek is going to be the guest picker for Saturday?
Because what I think of well played, sir. I like it, Brad. Jimmy Cheek booger eating reference. It's been a couple of years.
When I think of a guest picker, you can't rule out Jimmy Cheek. Oh, hey, Russ. well, how do you think this game's going to go? Do you think we're going to have another like replay of the Ole Miss game where it's like a 5-hour-long ordeal?
Man, I hope not. It is CBS. I mean, those games typically take a little bit longer. I think that it depends on Tennessee. If Tennessee plays a clean game, and I know people are sick of hearing it, they should win the game. If they don't turn the ball over, if they don't have kicking game malfunctions, if they don't have a plethora of penalties, I think Tennessee wins it. Now, if they do all those things, I think Florida hangs around. Yeah, they're going to stop drop and roll. They're gonna fake injuries, particularly before third down, so they can substitute on us. And Tennessee's just going to have to be prepared to deal with that. It can take 6 hours tomorrow night. As long as we come out with one more point than they do, I'm fine with it. We have to win, Brad. It has to happen.
I agree. And the only way they're going to make that rule change in the offseason is if the television people you let that game turn into a six-hour game and they have to push 60 minutes back to 10 o'clock. All these old heads can't watch their news. Yeah, you'll start hearing people complain.
Or how about this? How about if Alabama in the Iron Bowl is playing from behind and they have to resort to hurry up and Auburn starts stop, dropping, and rolling against the Roll Tide? If Nick Saban says, we got to get this out of the game, it'll be done the next day, brother. The next
Gone.
Day.
Very next day.
I mean, if they do it before the end of the first half, it may change in the second half.
Is Gabriel going to be on with you the entire show tomorrow, Russ?
3 hours in the – he's going to be out at National RX with Russell, and then him and Russell. Christopher and Russell will be traveling northeast to Happy Holler, to Hops and Hollers, for a tailgate. Chavis Smith is going to be out there with his barbecue food truck. Star-studded cast of characters will be in attendance.
God, 3 hours of Gabriel the Friday before a Florida game? I'm going to have to self-medicate. Boys, I'll holler at you later.
Yeah, I mean, Russ, you come out to Hops and Hollers and you chug down a couple of cold ones with him. I can only imagine. How rowdy do you think he'd get if he got blowed away?
Should I slip him something maybe in his beverage or something, just to, like, for his own good, you know?
Yeah,
just so
a little vitamin Z.
Have a coronary before the game.
I mean you've got your hands full just dealing with me in these types of situations. I can't believe you've decided to take this on.
Well, I think we're going to go to Roberto's tailgate, and we might be going to John Reed's. And we're going to be making the East Tennessee Big Orange Country tour on Saturday. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I'm going to sleep next week. How about that? Because we got a full couple of days planned. Let's get Tommy in here next. What's up, Tommy?
How you doing today, boys?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Getting a little honey-do list. Kind of knocked out the next 2 days. That way I can have some peace for Saturday and see this tail whip when we finna put on these gators.
Oh, you feeling it too, huh? Everybody's feeling it. Everybody thinks this is gonna be a blowout.
No, don't get twisted. Now, I'm confident. I'm not cocky, I'm confident. But it does scare me with game day being there. All the blue checks on Twitter picking us, all your SEC, ESPN, SportsCenter, everybody's picking us to win this game. 48-28, you know, 38-21, just whatever, you know, couple score win. And I believe that could be possible with the way our offense is. The defense is what worries me. If we got to – we're going to have to shut down Richardson. Kentucky gave everybody the recipe to beat Florida. You shut him down, you shut ETN or whoever the running back is, and you got them. I mean, South Florida, they almost got them, and that's a crap team.
South Florida was able to just line up and run the ball right at them, which is interesting. And I mean, we haven't shown an ability to do that yet, really, but they're going to have to figure out a way to run it, because I mean, the strength of the Florida defense is in their secondary. And if we don't have our best receiver out there, we're going to have to run the ball better than we've shown through these first three games. And I mean, I think that Jalen Wright, you know, we're probably not talking about him enough this week, because I think he's going to be a massive key for Saturday.
So with Jabari, I know he was practicing the other day. We're going to have small back, or?
You know, he might try and give it a go, and I think it sounds like he's just going to be in the same spot that he was last year, where he plays until he can't play, until he gets hit on that shoulder, and that might mean he can play the whole game. It might mean he can only play one snap. You just don't know. It's football. Who knows how it's going to respond and how long it's going to take for him to get popped.
Oh, Samson, too, you know, he runs hard. I mean, I could see him getting a few reps in there as long as he holds on to the ball.
I don't worry about Dylan Sampson as a true freshman with the ball in his hands. He might be our best running back if he gets in the open field. For him, it's all about pass protection. Can he pick up blitzers, edge rushers? Because you don't want to get your quarterback killed when he's back there throwing it, and you don't want to get hit either. He's got to have time to stand back there and throw it down there.
Hey, man. Well, boys, I'll get off here just real one thing. I got two great weekends lined up. Now, we got Florida, Tennessee. The next weekend, Russ, have you talked to Justin Hanna or Bears?
No.
Well, next weekend over here in Savannah, Tennessee, it's going to be me and Justin Hanna and D.R. Ball hanging out together for a little while. So,
no, good God.
We might have to come up with some bail money.
Hide your women and children. That is a terrible trio to have loose on the town.
All we need is Cody McClure to come, but I think he's about dead today.
Thank you.
Thomas.
Tommy, good hearing from you. I was at the station today at noon, and here comes Cody McClure. They're all late getting there. John was there on time. They're all late getting there, and Cody McClure comes straggling about 12:01, talking about how he just chugged two bottles of Pedialyte to get ready for the show. What does that tell you, Bear?
I mean, I know more about the story. All I will say, Cameron Black, producer on Talk Sports, walked into, you know, kind of his hangout bar where he goes. What I took, you know, kind of, you know, everybody's got one. He goes down to his bar where everybody kind of knows him. And he walks in the door to apparently Cody and I don't know who else, completely off the chain like they do. And then immediately Cody said, "Oh, there's Cam Black. He's my best buddy." And, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was said apparently last night. So,
fascinating story. Let's take a quick break. The drive continues. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Live today from Hound Dogs in West Knoxville, Russell Smith on the premises for another half an hour or so as we get set to wrap things up on this Thursday afternoon edition of the program. Hound Dogs, we appreciate them having us out today. Your headquarters for all your Vol gear. You come on out, get yourself an orange shirt or a white shirt, depending on where you're sitting on Saturday. Come on out, get yourself some nice UT wall art. Come on out, get whatever you need for the volunteer fan in your life, in your world, here at Hound Dogs, Cedar Springs Shopping Center, Kingston Pike, and Cedar Bluff. Let's go back to the phones, which are popping this afternoon. 865-546-8200. Some great phone calls this week. Let's get Senor City in here next. What's up, Senor?
Hola, amigos. Hope you're having a great Thursday, man. It's ready for some football this Saturday. Are you guys feeling it?
Man, there is a buzz, a sense of anticipation in this town that we have not felt around Tennessee football in a long, long time right now.
And I know it's a nice feeling going into a game where you actually feel like you have a really good chance to thump somebody of some significance.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to – Marcus, can you find me what the line was from the Ole Miss game last year? Because there was a lot of anticipation there. But, you know, Tennessee had already lost two ball games at that point. But it was Lane Kiffin coming back, and they were a good team. And there was a real feeling that Tennessee had an opportunity to win that game, and they did. And there was that was a good buildup, but it wasn't like this. It was not like this. This is a bigger rivalry. Tennessee's unbeaten, on the cusp of being in the top 10 right now. There is just a lot at stake. It's a tremendous opportunity for Josh Heupel in this program.
Hey, Russ, is Barry and Marcus there with you?
Yes.
Guys, this series kind of has that 95 Alabama feel to me. This is an opportunity where we send a statement like we did to Alabama in 95 and just literally flip the script on how this series goes moving forward. What do you think?
I think that, like, the dream scenario would be to us to come out and do what we did to Kentucky last year. Just absolutely, you know, take the ball first, get the ball at 25, drop a 75-yard touchdown on them, like the Hyatt, and just absolutely punch them right in the mouth.
I knew we wouldn't get through an hour without him mentioning Kentucky.
Hey, guys, I know you got some callers.
The hell are you talking about? I'm talking about Florida, dude.
He had to get that Kentucky. Hey, gentlemen, I think we have a lot of things under control and have a lot of advantages on the field. My question is this, and maybe you all already know, who's the officiating crew, and when do we find out that assignment? Because you know that Ole Miss game you were referring to last year, I feel that's the one that we got taken away from us.
Well, if Mark Curless and his crew show up, all I can say is bring your mustard bottles.
I'm being a Titleist as well.
All right, going out the door, guys. What's your biggest fear on matchup-wise? Offensive line, special teams, kicker, quarterback? Where's our biggest concern? I'm going to shut up and let you guys go. Great show.
Eddie Ean and their other running back. His name escapes me right now. That kid more than Eddie Ean, but they're running backs. They're legit, big-time SEC running backs.
Yeah, I mean, that. You know, it certainly doesn't seem like they have much of a downfield throwing game, so stopping the run is paramount. I know that the word on the street is that Richardson's banged up and everything. I'm still worried about him getting loose on us. And, you know, if we're comparing this to the Ole Miss game, like just Matt Corral, we had no answers. I mean, there were several third and 10 pluses. I remember at least one third and 17 where we've got a spy on him. Their center just comes out and buries him, and it was usually Banks, and Corral runs for about 20 yards.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my concern is, you know, whatever happened to him in the Kentucky game, is he regained his health in the 2 weeks since, and they turn him loose on us.
Yeah, the one thing that's I'm kind of wondering about, you know, as far as the linebackers go, with Juwan Mitchell playing as much as he did against Akron, but I wonder if that was more just to try and get him as many reps as they could to get all the rust knocked off. But, I mean, the way Beasley's played this year, do you not turn Aaron Beasley loose and just tell him to go, hey, you go kick that guy's ass? Because
absolutely.
Beasley's laid the wood to some quarterbacks this year.
Oh, I love Beasley. Beasley and Banks. I mean, this is their moment, man. Those guys are veteran players at this point. Yeah, they've got to cut it loose. And look, I mean, I'm not expecting a shutout. I still don't think we have a particularly great defense. But it is not a good offense that they're going up against. And if you hold them to 24 points or less, we should be good. Unless we just completely poop the bed,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
we should be good. If we can just hold them 24 points or less, I mean, I feel like that should be a very reasonable goal.
Well, that and, you know, their issues right now, and specifically, if he really is gimped up, I mean, you're going in a game where you've got Tyler Barron and Byron Young on the edges, you know, those guys aren't slow, man. And you do not want – the nightmare scenario if I'm Billy Napier is looking out there and Young has Richardson in his grasp, one of those two guys. If Tyler or Byron get a hold of you, your game could be over.
To answer your question from earlier, Russell, the spread that was for the Tennessee-Ole Miss game of last year was Ole Miss at -1. And the money line...
Yeah, so that was a close one.
Yeah, the money line for Ole Miss was -115. Tennessee was -105.
It was a very evenly matched game, though.
Yeah, you had Ole Miss at ranked 13th coming in at 4-1, and we were 4-2 at that point. So it was...
I mean, we were right there. Golly.
I think this game, rightfully so, I think us being the higher point spread.
That one will never – we'll be thinking about that one forever, won't we, Russ? The what-ifs around that game. How close. That was just an all-time just soul-snatching loss last year to them.
Still hurts.
I don't think it ever won't.
Still hurts. You know, most close ones like that never do. And the fact that it's Kiffin, you know, that's just
– Yeah, and the flopping.
Takes it up a notch. And the way he did it in total Kiffin manner – watching a guy just like driving through this parking lot, just texting, just looking at his phone bear, glancing up occasionally, but his attention is 100% on his phone.
Probably on FanDuel right now, trying to make a bet on that Florida Tennessee line.
I wish he'd pay attention to the task at hand, man.
That's fair.
What's that?
We got children here, Marcus. We got children running around here.
It's a family show. Really, it is.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. You've told me before.
Dustin is next. What's up, Dustin? Dustin. Dustin, dust out. Dustin, dust out.
Hang on one second.
No, Dustin.
Potentially.
865-546-8200.
We got your number to
get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. All right, we want to try this again.
Yeah, we should get. I think we have Dustin now.
Dustin, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Dustin?
Not much. Hey, I called in to talk about the Florida situation. The only thing I'm scared about is their backup quarterback coming in and messing us up like they always do.
Well, Dustin, I'm going to.
Have any information about the backup quarterback?
Yes.
What they're like?
Yes, yes, yes. He's a freshman, 18 years old, been on campus since, I assume, June. Their third-string quarterback is a walk-on. That's one of the things that has kind of hurt Florida so far is they can't really – that's been one of the storylines is that they haven't really turned Richardson completely loose because, they don't want him running too much because, you know.
I think the key to the game – is to keep a cool head. We're better than this team. We need to keep it cool. We need to take it easy on Richardson so that quarterback doesn't get into the game and come back and a classic Florida situation.
I mean, I could come to greatly regret this, but I don't see an 18-year-old green behind the ears freshman being able to come into that environment. That's a nightmare scenario for Florida.
Well, I mean, this is just another example of us, acting like things that happened in 2014 matter in 2022. And I'm not coming off on you, Dustin, because I feel your pain, brother. But we had a guy, Graham Hall, who covers Florida for their 247 site, on the show back on Monday, and he said that their freshman is a guy named Max Brown, and he basically said, look, this dude ain't it. Like, he ain't ready. He ain't ready for all this. I don't think he's a runner anyway, but, I mean, he's raw. They don't want to play him. Their other backup, Jack Miller, had some sort of an injury. He's out. There's a walk-on, Jalen Kitna, I believe. None of these guys have any experience. Now, I'm with, like, who knows? I mean, maybe they come in there and light us up. But when we talk about that, you know, people point to the 2001 championship game against LSU and the 2014 Florida game with Treon Harris coming in. And those are both running quarterbacks where they didn't really know what they were doing, and they're just running around back there making plays. And it doesn't sound to me like Florida even has a guy that's capable of doing that. All their backups are more pro-style players.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to get off here. I'm going to leave you with a thought. LSU night game, we wear the – see you guys.
Oh, did you catch what he said? We wear the what?
We go dark mode at LSU.
Oh, yeah, because they wear their whites.
White.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would be cool.
That'd be a ballsy move, wouldn't it? Ooh, you get me on board for – that'd be a cool place to break out the dark modes.
Yeah, that would. Especially if they have the dark helmets with it too.
Oh, yeah. Go full Vader.
Oh.
The Vader. I don't know. You won me over to that argument, Russ, and it just makes a ton of sense. The whole projecting past trauma onto the current team. I mean, let's just pretend Anthony Richards for some reason goes down in the first quarter. Does the fact that they're going to start that 18-year-old or the Kitna kid, bring him in? I mean, that sounds like a recipe for disaster for Florida to me.
Yeah, and I look at us first and like, what can we do to control the outcome? And, you know, I go back to the Pitt game. You know, we knocked their guy out, and the second guy came in, and he was okay. But, you know, I guess he – you know, we more or less shut him down. So I just think Florida coaches are probably terrified of having to go to their backup quarterback. I don't think they're quite frankly very confident in their first stringer, Anthony Richardson. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
Before
guys,
we
I'm trying not to get blown away down here at you all have no idea how stressful this has been, quite frankly, but I'm holding it together.
We've done a great job.
865-546-8200, your number to get up with us here this afternoon. Actually, let's take our final timeout, and then we will wrap up with some phone calls. 546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone line. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues live from Hound Dogs in West Knoxville.
I'd like to apologize about that. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm sorry.
Impromptu edition of the docket here. You guys hear what went down in Utah over the weekend?
Yes. Insane.
A lot of weird stuff going on in Utah lately. And get that thing under control out there. A University of Utah student was arrested yesterday after allegedly making terroristic threats by posting on social media the same day as a Utes football game that she was going to detonate the nuclear reactor on campus if the team didn't win.
Wait a minute. She.
So many questions here. First of all, just off that one lead, so many questions I have. A nuclear reactor on campus? Is that a thing?
I mean, I don't know. That kind of stuns me. Like, you know, I know there's like the graphite reactor out there in Oak Ridge was, I wouldn't call it educate. It was a research reactor, I believe. So I know that they have like reactors where they research like nuclear physics and stuff. I've never heard of one on campus myself.
They're in Salt Lake City is where the school is located.
Correct.
So it's a major city. I can't imagine they would have a
working nuclear reactor on campus at the University of Utah. Okay, Russ, now what's the next thing that kind of bugs you about it?
The 21-year-old student posted the threat on the social media app Yik Yak. Student was identified as Meredith Miller in a highly redacted report from university police.
Is it highly redacted just because it involved?
I guess so. The University of Utah's nuclear reactor is secured and alarmed, and police have unique protocols for managing any breach of the facility. So, yeah, apparently they've got a nuclear reactor on campus there. But don't worry, guys. There's an alarm and a couple of campus cops standing by it, keeping everything.
Keeping Meredith from going postal if the Utes lose. That's the part that jumped out at me. I mean, you don't normally, you're a drunken frat boy. But 21-year-old co-ed, she really cares about her football. She's got what it takes to be an SEC fan.
Yeah, yeah. She might have gone to school in the wrong state.
Yeah. Sounds like she should be a Bama fan.
The docket is brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. We appreciate their support of the show and all things fan run. Check them out online at foxandfarmer.com or give them a call at 865-531-9400. Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you do. So what do you got to lose? Give them a ring, 531-9400, foxandfarmer.com. Well, Moose Knuckle Mullen is no longer strolling the sidelines in Gainesville, but he has offered a prediction, evidently, for this game. Marcus, what does the Moose Knuckle think is going to happen?
Yeah, Dan Mullen posted on Twitter today around 11. Some of his week four predictions, including the Tennessee-Florida game. He's predicting Tennessee.
Mullen is? The knuckle?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
See, and then you've got tortured. Do what, buddy?
I can't believe we never got that guy.
Him?
Dan frickin' Mullen. Hell, we didn't get 4-0 against Tennessee?
Yeah. Hell, we didn't get we didn't get Muschamp while he was at Florida. We lost to that boob. But here's the thing that gives me pause. So we've got Vegas. Everybody that is anybody knows, national guys that know. Dan Mullen knows football. I don't know what to make of everybody picking us.
Does it make you nervous?
Well, hell yeah, it does.
Somebody told me, and it might have been on this show, but we're getting late in the week and everything kind of runs together, so who knows? But the most we've ever been favored over Florida in the modern era, I think, is 5.5 points. And I'm not sure what year that was. So, yeah, we've been expected to win before in this series, not like this. Tennessee has literally never been this big a favorite over Florida.
No.
So for all the people who said, oh, we've seen this movie before. Oh, we've had the better team so many times. First of all, no, we haven't. But second of all, even if that's your contention, is that, we're always better than Florida and they always beat us. Well, you've never been this big a favorite against them. So that's going to be interesting to – it's going to be interesting to see it all play out.
Can I say something funny about this tweet as well? So he has a few other teams that he's projecting for week four. Like I said, he put number 15 Oregon to beat number 18 Washington with the big Oregon emblem. He tweeted below it saying, thank you for all the Wazoo info. He said the state got cut off in the graphic, that he didn't mean to offend any of the Washington State Cougars. But here's the problem. Washington State's not ranked. It's Washington who is ranked 18th. So I think he was trying to cover it up by saying, the state just got blocked off by another image. Washington plays Stanford.
David on Twitter says, by the way, about the officials, game officials are never announced pregame. No one knows until Saturday. They're very concerned. that this is such SEC, such an SEC football note. They are very concerned, evidently, about gamblers trying to get to them.
I would imagine get to them, but, like, if you know Curlis's crew, like, how nervous do they get in Vegas when they see Curlis on a game where, you know, it just adds a something that I imagine Vegas hates, which is uncertainty into the game. Those guys are wild cards. Like, they can directly – they stole a game out there in Memphis. Wasn't that the one, Mississippi State? Or was it Memphis stole one from Mississippi State? One or the other. So a series of just boneheaded, obviously dumb calls that anybody could have, you know, pointed out to him. But I don't know. God, surely God, it won't be. Surely, I mean, it's a 3:30 CBS game. Can't there? Because we've had, what was a good crew? I thought the Pittsburgh game was called pretty well. Didn't like where that dollar store crew they had in for the Akron game was horrible, man.
We haven't gotten screwed by the officials yet, so I guess we're due. Brad on Twitter says there's about 20 schools that have them. I think he's talking about the nuclear reactors. Kansas State has one. Georgia Tech used to have one, but apparently it was decommissioned 10 to 15 years ago.
Huh.
This is what we need, a nuclear reactor on campus.
Wonder if we've got one.
Maybe that'll make improve the Wi-Fi in Neyland Stadium.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if that has anything to do with Wi-Fi or not, but
I don't think it does.
Sounds good. All right, boys, wrapping up. Don't forget, tomorrow, live at National Law Rex from 3 to 6, Christopher Gabriel will be there with me for the entire show. And then at 6, we're going to head down to Hops and Hollers in Old North Knoxville for a post-show meet and greet with the people. Come on out and see us there. We'll be there around 7 p.m. Looking forward to meeting y'all and getting ready for Tennessee and Florida. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks again to Hound Dogs for having us out here today. It has been a blast. Y'all be good. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.